Hey, Mr. One Stop, I'm looking for a record and it goes like this. Dun 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 dun.
Welcome to Addicted to the Needle,
the podcast where a vinyl addict meets his dealer. I'm your dealer, Ben Schulman.
And I'm Patrick Foisy, the addict.
And you, my friend, I'm glad you are sitting not too close to me.
And we're in our little pods.
You sound congested.
Well, it sort of gives me this Barry White...
My darling, welcome to Addicted to the Needle, but yeah, babe.
I am under the weather and... No, it's not COVID. It's this virus going around.
Well, it's funny. Taryn was telling me, well, she's been doing her overnight shift tonight, and she's been like crazy busy at work because everyone is calling in sick. I think it's just, again, flu season, yep. You know, that was something that existed pre-pandemic. Fortunately, I am not sick. I have a feeling I'm going to leave here, and you are going to impart your...
Well, we didn't shake hands. We stayed 2 meters apart.
I guess it's like you work in an elementary school. I mean, that place is just germ city.
I think 8 teachers were missing today, and I had 2 students that weren't there. Wow. So, it's going around.
It's going around.
And I've been, I'm at the tail end of it. So,
but you were fighting through it in order to be here for the show.
Anything for the addicts out
there. Anything for our dear addicts. So yeah, what's new? What's going on? It's been a couple weeks.
I'm a bit late, but I did hint to it before you got here. I have a surprise for you, a belated birthday gift.
Oh my God. You know what would be a great... I just imagine that the gift is probably just like a 25-minute version of Name That Moldy Oldie.
Don't make me laugh because I'm going to...
You're going to start coughing in my general direction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm going to... All right.
You got me a birthday present. Well, yeah, it's true. Well, my birthday. You know what? I've been a good 30 years old now for 2 months, and every day I wake up and I go, that motherfucker didn't get me anything.
Yeah, I just gave you a flat screen TV for
yeah,
for
that's Hanukkah right. Yeah, you gave me your old TV for Hanukkah, which thank you, by the way. We really do appreciate that.
So, well, let's celebrate again. You brought the libations today, my friend.
Yes, that's right. I brought a beautiful La Croix original cider. I love this. Not too sweet. Just something nice to sip on. I feel like cider is an appropriate drink for a nice November night. Yeah, you got it.
Let's cheers to that.
Cheers. L'chaim.
And
I hope Kanye West heard me say that.
Whoa! Oh, no, I'm going to cough. I'll take a sip.
Okay, maybe so this is the episode where I can't make you laugh.
Oh, that's tasty.
Oh, yeah. Classic. Love that one.
So here's my gift. So, Addicted to the Needle is like sort of a mom and pop small affair.
This ain't no Joe Rogan experience.
Right. So we don't have a lot of means to promote. But, every once in a while I try. I do try.
You really do. I got to hand it to you. You are the executive producer and ambassador of this podcast. It's really your show.
So you'll understand why I appreciate the sentiment. You'll understand why I'm handing you this gift.
Is it a copy of Do I Love You by Frank Wilson?
I wish. So... Ooh. We have our own stickers.
Oh, cool.
So I have a stack of about 150 stickers for you.
Oh, and like they're like almost the perfect size to like put on a sleeve.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You thought of everything.
Well, cool. I did. I think I'm going to have them bigger next time.
Yeah. But it's like, but here, take a sleeve. How perfect is that?
Perfect.
Oh, wow. I'm going to put those on my favorite records.
But one thing you're going to do is all you addicts out there that will order some records from the company sleeve.
The company sneeze, you're sick.
Exactly. on Discogs, you're going to slip one of those in, right?
I will. I will try not to forget, because I had all those cards, like the
postcards.
Yeah, those are gone, because I don't have any of those anymore, so those are out there. But people are obviously hearing about our show somehow, because, you know, did we discuss that on the last show?
Yeah.
How someone, like, entered this thing on Discogs. They're like, well, according to Ben Shulman from Addicted to the Needle podcast, I was like, oh, excuse me.
We need to spread the love, so...
I feel like there's definitely... people out there who would dig this show who don't know about it.
Of course.
That's funny. And like I was at my parents' house the other day, and my dad was showing me in one of his car magazines, he's a big car guy, there was an ad for some podcast about records. Obviously big enough that they're advertising in British car magazines. I don't remember the name, but...
See, that's where we're
we should probably become friends with those people.
We're not at that level. We're at the sticker level. So
yeah, exactly.
Addicts out there, you might receive a sticker one day with our super nice.
And see, you know what I'll do instead of just sending the sticker? I'm just going to throw it on random sleeves and be like, now you're just stuck with it. You just have the sleeve with our sticker on it instead.
Hey, it's your gift. You get to do whatever you want.
Well, thank you, Parka Pat.
So, and I did, you know, give myself a little present again this week. My ever long-lasting quest to come up with the best sound system is almost to an end, because...
I feel like this has been like the past five episodes we've gotten an insight into the constant upgrading and development of your sound system.
But you say it's past five episodes. It's really the past three decades.
Well,
because it's ever since I left the family nest that it's been building, you know, that's what you do with a sound system. You start small and then you upgrade and you upgrade and you change and you...
I should take a lesson from you, because my sound system is garbage and I should probably really invest in it. But
so I found my dream turntable. It basically, I sent a picture to my father last night, showing him the new turntable, and basically I just recreated what I grew up with, because it's the turntable.
Hey, stick with what you know, right? Isn't that something people say?
Well, it's the turntable I grew up with, that I dropped the needle on the first records I bought, and my father still owns.
What was your first thing that you bought? Well, I mean, obviously you were dropping like the needle on your parents' records, but I mean, like, didn't you first start buying records like when your little foray into Toronto as a teenager?
Before that, I was in fourth grade.
Oh, wait, I remember what your first record is now.
What was it?
Kiss.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fourth grade with my own money.
Your own $3.49 or something.
So I think it was a Discus, probably. The chain that where
was
I that bought
like
it.
In, wasn't there one in Fairview?
Yeah.
Is that where you bought your first record?
No, it was in on the corner of Sherbrooke and Langelier.
Wow. That is not where I was thinking.
So anyway, two locals.
We're getting really deep into the Montreal geography here. But that's what this show is about. And food. Anyway, I'm sorry.
So I bought my dream turntable. So it's a Torrens SD-165, if you want to look at...
Wasn't it TD-165?
TD-175. TD-165, excuse me. Yeah, and I found it on Facebook Marketplace.
Always good finds on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah, I've been, you know...
How far did you have to go to get it?
I had to troll the Marketplace for months until I found... the one I wanted that looked good, and you know, and those cover cases are usually scratched up.
Oh yeah.
And so it's a vintage, you know, from 70s, 80s,
yeah,
early
late
80s
probably.
And I found it 9 minutes drive from here in a beautiful Westmount. You know, part of those nice mansions,
Victorian style,
million dollar houses.
Oh my God, it's $2 million bare minimum.
So
beautiful, beautiful part of town.
So I went to meet Carl, and he had set up a sort of a man cave in his garage.
Cool.
So he welcomed me with a beer in his man cave, and we tested the turntable, talked for an hour. Super nice guy. So have some sort of a similar taste in music. I think the first record he dropped to test the turntable before I handed him the cash was Marvin Gaye, What's Going On.
Hey.
Best album of all times, probably.
Guy sounds cool. We should get him on the show.
Absolutely. So, Carl, thanks again if you're out there listening. And so we were talking, and we ended up with in a interesting conversation about, you know, we were asking each other what type of music we like. And
right.
I was telling about, you know, our love of soul music.
That's right.
And he goes, oh, I have a story for you. So he works, I think, in a high-rise downtown, or I don't know if he went there. Yeah, I think he works there.
Okay.
And he goes, do you know Floyd Lawson and the Hearts of Stone? And I go, no, I don't think so. Let me text my good friend Ben.
Ah.
He'll know.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, you weren't too far away, because as soon as I texted you, yeah. They came out with like a Motown LP, only in Canada or something.
Well,
like that.
So, excuse me. I'm obviously very gassy from our side we're having here. So what's interesting with this group, I don't know a hell of a lot about them, but this group, the Hearts of Stone, they had an LP that came out in 1970 on the VIP label, which is one of the many Motown subsidiaries. And I believe the title of the album is Stop the World, We Want to Get Off. Really cool album cover. I feel like they're kind of like cartoony, and it's like them kind of jumping off Earth with like stars. Like very, very cool album cover.
Very, very 70s.
Very 1970, yes. Yeah. And I remember I was, because when I started my foray into record collecting, the first thing was, okay, I need every record by the Temptations. And then once that was done, it was like, I need every record, no matter what it is, that came out under the Motown umbrella. And this one took me, I remember it took me longer to find. It wasn't easy, but I think eventually I did find it at Beatnik, where I did find most of my albums when I was 12, 13 years old. And I remember I loved the song on the album called If I Could Give You the World. Just really good, typical 1970 group soul stuff. That's all I knew about this group. And then I remember I would see, and like you still do see when you're out digging now, there is a disco 45, probably from 75, 76. I think the label's literally called Disco One by the Hearts of Stone. Interesting, it's a Montreal label. So I never really did my homework on this, but there is like this group ended up here. They were, you know, one of those African-American groups who kind of like, well, Montreal, again,
was biggest, a party town.
Was the disco capital of North America.
Yeah, we didn't have a Studio 54, but close.
But we had like, you ever see that movie Funky Town?
I know the song.
Yeah, of course. But I feel like I've brought this up on the show before. This movie came out when I was a teenager, so like 15 years ago. And what's interesting with this movie, it was shot in Montreal. It's in English and French. Like, it's a bilingual movie, which is really cool.
Interesting.
And it's kind of like a fictionalized version of the disco scene in Montreal in the 70s. And I remember I've tried to like find it again because I wanted to show it to my brother. And I mean, anyone out there, if you can find it, watch it. It's great. And it's just kind of cool because it just ties into this whole disco thing. And you know how we did have, similar to like the 1960s, how we had all, you know, the Billy Martins and the Billy Horns and the Jackie Shanes and, you know, all the people kind of coming up here and doing their thing. I think the Hearts of Stone were just another example of that. And I don't really know where they were from, but obviously they ended up here. So this guy knew Floyd Lawson from that group?
So he was in that high rise somewhere downtown Montreal. That's the story he told me. And there was this janitor pushing his cart, and on it was like a little radio, and he was just dancing to music.
Interesting.
So he approached him. He goes, oh, hey, cool music. And he started talking to him. and it's Floyd Lawson.
Wow. And this is how, like, was this like recently or?
I guess so.
Yeah.
So apparently he's in Montreal.
So he's been here all these years. Crazy.
I guess so. So they struck up a friendship, and he brought him, like, I think master tapes of stuff he did in the 70s.
Whoa, yeah.
And Carl burnt a CD. Him and his friend, I think, and they distributed the CD in the building. So everybody in the building was listening to Floyd Lawson.
That's such a good story.
And people were like thanking him and very happy about, you know, his music. And so this janitor in Montreal that just got rediscovered because he was dancing to
And if I'm not mistaken, because I'm just familiar with this 45 of theirs, but I think there is an album, like a Canadian-only LP from 75, Floyd Lawson and the Hearts of Stone. So I'm surprised. I've never really done my homework on this, where it's just like, this is totally up my alley. So we have a group that was Motown affiliated, Montreal affiliated, and I'm sitting here and I'm kind of like, huh, how didn't I like know more about this?
Well, that's why I texted you right away.
Yeah.
Ben needs to know this.
Right.
So he says he while we were there, he texted a friend of his, and he was looking through his phone and trying to find an email, because they exchanged emails.
Okay.
And we're going to find him. So
let's find him and get him on the show.
We're going to find him. No, I told him we're going to record a record with him.
Oh, I like that idea.
So
and we can put it out on the VIP label and hope Barry Gordy sues us. And that's how I could finally meet him.
Don't make me laugh.
So
so we're going to, you know, we're it's out there. So we're kind of Floyd. We're looking for you.
And I hope you do some of your editing magic, and maybe you can slice in that "If I Could Give You the World"
right
now.
Now.
I would.
You know I would.
I'd give.
nice little song. Well, we didn't hear all of it, but you got a little snippet. Speaking of songs, you ready for your first record, my dear addict?
Yeah, sure am.
Do you want to hear something French? Do you want to hear something soulful? Do you want to? I don't know. What are you in the mood for?
Well, we're talking about soul, so let's hop into.
Should we feature
more
this?
Soul.
Should we feature this thing?
Yeah.
So.
This is our unofficial, grand dam of Addicted to the Needle, and you can already guess the artists we most cherish here.
Yes.
We even mentioned her name a minute ago.
Yes, we did. So here we have a record by none other than Jackie Shane. Yay!
One I didn't own.
Yes. Which is funny because I had put this up for sale in one of those groups on Facebook and you commented like, I need that one! And it was, okay, took it down.
Right away.
This is Jackie's version of a tune. It's probably been covered a million times, including, the Beatles. Money, That's What I Want, written by Berry Gordy and Janie Bradford, originally released by Barrett Strong in 1959. My honest opinion, not the best version of the song, but still nonetheless pretty cool. It's Jackie Shane. It's on a really cool record label called Starshot. It kind of has like that capital swirl thing going on with like a little spaceship. It just looks awesome. So it's Jackie Shane with Frank Motley and the Motley Crew. Not to be confused with, the like thrash metal band. What kind of music was that? Like hair metal, Motley
Crew? Yeah, 80s.
Yeah. So pulled it down, brought it here. I mean, I feel like this is like a good substitute. It's like we don't have a Hearts of Stone 45 to play, but hey, here's another African-American artist who kind of called Canada home.
And I want you to make the connection. I think it came out this week, right? It has... Because there's no way we weren't hyped to this.
So what you're talking about is this Canada Heritage moment of Jackie Shane.
So Canada Heritage moment is something so purely Canadian.
So Canadian. It's like these little 2-minute historical pieces.
It's like little capsule.
Actors, and it's like the ones I always remember from when I was a kid was the explosion in the Halifax Harbor. Jacques Cartier meeting the first indigenous people and they're going Canada. And he's like, oh, this must all be Canada.
Right. There's one also on the Chinese immigrants that built the railroad.
Yes. Yeah. So they're just kind of these like classic 2-minute tidbits that were just always on TV and,
on CBC.
And I don't know. I think I saw Barry Soltz, our buddy Barry Soltz from, the Bronx from New York City posted. They did a 2-minute Jackie Shane, little short, with a transgender woman playing Jackie. And it looks great. I mean, the outfit's dead on. I mean,
the club scene.
And she's doing
really
like her
cool
little speech from the live album. She's like, my name's Jackie and I got mine. Like, I love that thing, like on the live album where she's like, I walk down Yonge Street and people look at me funny, but. I got mine, like that whole spiel.
She talks about how, Canada became her home because she felt free here.
Yeah, well, that's right. Because Jackie was actually from Nashville. And Jackie was up in Canada as early as 1959. Funny enough, first place she ever played was Cornwall, Ontario, which is a...
Yeah, small town.
Smallish town, about an hour and 20 minutes west of Montreal. She did live in Montreal for a period, but she is most associated with her time in Toronto, where her record on Sue Records, Any Other Way, was like the biggest hit in Toronto, top of the chum charts. So it was just like super cool to see that. And you pointed out something that's really cool about that little short.
The song you hear during that 2-minute clip,
is
A New Way of Lovin'.
Yes. And you write
our favorite song.
And of course, well, because I mean, I got you the copy that we featured on the show, and I always say it's like if I could only save 10 records or 5 records for my collection, that's one of them for sure. So it's playing in the background and like, I kind of had this thought and then you, funny enough, of course you read my mind, you messed with me. You're like, so that's your record. And I'm like, well, yeah, It is, because my record is the one both sides are featured on the Numero Group comp, so...
So that's the one that was digitized, so obviously came from there, so... Yeah.
So a record that I own is now in a Canada Heritage moment.
I think we can say that with a fair amount of certainty.
Oh, beyond. I mean, unless they took it directly from my YouTube channel, which I kind of doubt. So, I mean, so that's kind of really cool.
Isn't
it? It's a cool little thing. Anyway, I hope from this, and I saw that our friend Elaine Banks commented somewhere where someone posted this. So Elaine has made us those beautiful custom sleeves, and she interviewed Jackie, and she did the original story about Jackie Shane that came out years ago. And I think she wrote somewhere that there is a documentary and like a biopic both in the works. Because, I mean, what a great story. I mean, come on, how isn't this a movie?
I don't know.
Anyway, let's give it up.
That actress in the short is great.
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean,
it looks like her too.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe. I mean, if they went through the trouble of making that clip, there's got to be more to it, right?
Right.
We can only hope.
Oh.
Anyway, Jackie got hers. She got her money, ladies and gentlemen. Jackie Shane, 1964. Five, I don't remember. Doing money.
The best things in life are free. You can give them to the birds and bees. I need some money. But your love don't pay my bills. I need money. I sell whole lots of money. That's what I want, that's what I want. Hey, yeah. Money can't get everything, it's true. But it can't get it, I can use. I need some money. Can't you see I need a whole lot of money? That's what I want, that's what I want. Your love don't pay my bills. I need money, a lot of money. That's what I want, that's what I want. Yeah. Money can't get everything, it's true. What it can't get, I can use. I need money, a lot of money. That's what I want, that's what I want.
Oh, Jackie, we love you. I'm not missing much from the 45 or 45 collection. There's another cover of another song I don't own. She did a cover of something else.
She did a cover of Walking the Dog, but that was never actually, that's not on record. It's okay. Just from a TV show. Interesting, if I'm not mistaken, with this money, this version of Money, is that it was actually recorded in Boston, because it came out on an American label as well. Just kind of like Sticks and Stones in any other way, she had an association with this guy called Skippy White, who ran a label and a record store in Boston up until very recently. Older African-American gentleman. So yeah, interestingly enough, this was released in Canada, the Starshot label, very much something for the Toronto market, because that's where she was. Like, because it's interesting, because like she did spend time in Montreal, but like I've yet to come across somebody who like remembers seeing right. Jackie Shane in Montreal, because this was as far back as like 60, 61. And when I did talk to her, Because that's another thing that was absolutely mental. It's like I did, and I'm sure it has been mentioned on the show, I spoke to Jackie Shane for an hour and a half. And I asked her about her time in Montreal. And she said she had to leave because a guy in the mafia was in love with her. And was like threatening to kill her if she said anything. So,
jeez.
Take that for what hopefully that can make it into the movie. And yeah, well, it was that chance getting to speak with her that got me in touch with Rob Bowman, who did all the liner notes for the Numero thing and got me in with that because I had unpublished photos of her and they used my record. So anyway, Jackie Shane, what a story. I would love to see that movie be made.
Of course.
And I'd like to be a consultant.
Sure. Why not? So last time we saw each other was socially at the 45 show.
Well, that's right. We recorded an episode and then we immediately left. It was pretty busy.
It was great.
I was like really shocked at how many people turned up because I don't know if it was necessarily because it was a smaller venue, but like last time there was one of these, and it was put on by Denis from Le Pickup. Shout out, one of our favorite store, probably our favorite store in Montreal for 45s. Denis and Beatnik, our other favorite store, in a Café Atomique, which is obviously more of a bar social kind of setting.
Yeah, it's a café.
Yeah.
That serves beer.
Yeah, because the last time, and it was cool because it was at like 5 at night, so people were like drinking and like, there were DJs going and...
Oh, really?
I gotta say, you had the best set.
Oh, thank you.
Nick from Beatnik, a good friend of the show, he came to me, he's like, oh man, like, thank God Pat's up there now. And I was like, yeah.
Well, that's high compliments.
That's high praise because...
He has quite the collection.
Oh, does he ever? But yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And we met a fan of the show.
Yes.
So, and it was great because he actually had sort of a surprise for me. He handmade...
Well, why don't you say his name first?
I try to remember.
Wait. Stacey Case.
Stacey Case, yeah.
So Stacey, shout out Stacey if you're listening. Stacey, this is funny enough, first time I had ever met him in person. Been following him on Instagram for years. He fits in with you and I so well because he deals in vintage. He loves records. He's just...
All-around swell guy.
Crazy, I'd never met him before, but what was so funny is that over the years, his... girlfriend, wife, not sure if they're married. She grew up in the West Island in Pointe Claire. So she's like one of us. West Islander represent.
Didn't know that.
Yes. And her mother still lives down in Pointe Claire, in the Valway area. And there was a couple of times where she's like, oh, for like Christmas, I just want to get him a stack of records. So I would go and leave these 45s on like her mother's stoop and she would give them to Stacey as a gift. But I'd never met him.
So it's been a while.
Yeah. And now they live in Cornwall. Man, I'm talking about Cornwall a lot this episode. So they live in Cornwall, which is like, hour and 20 minutes away. And, oh man, he had such a ball going through my stuff.
And so he's into making custom handmade stamps.
Yeah, like something you would get hit with when you're going into a club or a bar.
Right, so he was super sweet about it too. He goes, Pat, it would be an honor for me to make you my own stamp for you for your soul nights.
Right.
I go, all right. He goes, I came up with a little design. I don't know if you like it. And
He did it like right there, which was like so crazy.
Well, he drew the design, but he hadn't carved the stamp
yet. That's right.
So it's a little parka with in the middle a little P for Parka Pat.
Perfect.
And I saw that. I go, yeah, great. Oh, how much do I owe you? He goes, oh, super cheap. And I went, okay, here you go. And at one point, we like, where's Stacey? He's gone. He was in his car carving the stamp for me.
And I was giving him shit because I had brought like 12 boxes and there were still two he hadn't done. And I was like, Stacey, get back in here. I need you to finish because, like, it was already kind of, the thing was kind of folding up. And what was so funny is like, I just said to him, like, you know what? I'll just go through these last couple of boxes and I'll pull out the ones I think you want. I'm like a personal shopper too.
Well, you do that for me. Well, this is the whole point of this podcast.
It's true. It is true. You know, and then to a lot of people's chagrin.
Excuse me.
A brief coughing moment. Well, it's like, you know, like Maude Marty will always joke. He's just like, you know, I want to buy these records from you, but I know Pat will get them first. Take a sip of your cider.
I should.
That'll
yeah.
help you. Mm. But it was a pleasure meeting him, and yeah, it was fun. It was busy. It was,
and we knew everybody basically.
Yeah, it was, and like there was no bad vibes. There wasn't anyone there who like we didn't want to see. You know?
Okay. Nobody playing, you know, giving help elbows, trying to go through a
and
box
miraculously, and like it was kind of funny because like even like people started making fun of me. I didn't buy anything.
Wow.
And like even Sebastian was just like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, I'm just here to, I brought 12 boxes of $2 stuff and people were thrilled, you know, because it's like, I remember like Danielle, Napoleon 67 was going through one of my boxes and he pulls out this beautiful copy of She Loves You by the Beatles. And he's like, well, this is worth more than $2. And I'm like, yeah, but like, that's the price, you know, it's like, I'm just trying to unload stuff. And he was like, oh, wow. I'm just like, yeah. Because people would come and they're like, oh, like, is it organized? I'm like, no, I'm simulating my experience. You have to dig through this stuff to find things. And I got to hand it, there was like a couple of younger people really going through, you know, and it was nice. Astrid and, oh my God. Cam?
Not Colin.
Fuck. Oh my God, sorry. This is so embarrassing.
Yeah, I know.
Anyhow, Astrid, who's a doll, Astrid Shapiro, who we met, I think she came out to bang and shout. You know, like 100 years ago.
Right.
And she's a British girl and she was living in Vancouver and now her and her husband are here. They bought a bunch of stuff. So it was just like good people. And we saw our buddy Alex Taylor and, you know.
It was great.
It was fun. So I didn't buy anything, which was hilarious because like Denis was like, are you okay? And Sebastian is like, are you all right? And I'm like, no, I'm letting everyone else pick. What did you get?
Cameron.
I was right. Cam. I was right.
So here, bought mostly from Denis.
All right. The Honey Bus. I can't let Maggie go. That's like British.
British. Very.
Very mod, kind of flowery. Like.
And very, very Beatlesque.
Right.
There's one of the sides, I think the B side sounds very Beatle.
Tender Are the Ashes. I think I might have a Canadian pressing of this. Haven't listened to it in 100 years, but
it's pretty good.
Museum by Beverly, also on the Duram label.
Don't remember.
It's funny, most of the stuff on Duram, if it's not the Flirtations, it's kind of some weird British-y psych thing.
What?
It's just Dick. It's obviously Dick Rivers.
Right.
What's he doing on this one? So Dick Rivers was kind of just like one of these French.
Who did a bunch of covers.
Oh, my God. But he was huge, though. I mean, like, you think he's up there with, like, well.
He was the French Elvis.
Yeah. He sold. Well, no, I mean, the French Elvis would be Johnny Halliday.
Oh, okay. I'm mixing
but
them
Dick
up.
Rivers,
you're right.
He was
you're
just,
right.
like, you know, kind of like a Richard Anthony, just like these guys who just, like, you're covered right. every song. So what's he doing on here? Lucifer?
So that was a suggestion from Danielle. I think it's Sava or Lucifer. Yeah, one of those.
Yeah, because it's funny. Like, I pick up... The one I pick up a lot from him is, like, he does, like, Mr. Pitiful by Otis Redding. And, he's all right. Okay. It's all in Japanese, but this appears to be Gary Walker.
Yeah.
With You Don't Love Me and Get It Right. Two killer sides. So he's one of the Walker brothers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like, what were their real names? Because it's like Scott Walker's real name was Scott Engel. So this, like, their name wasn't, they weren't brothers, and they weren't named Walker.
I didn't know that.
But it's really cool to see that this came out on Date in the States and Canada. So it's cool to see this Japanese pressing of the pictures. Even like, man, does he look cool?
Yeah,
look at that.
Like, that's, can't get more mod than that.
That's some shit you would wear.
Absolutely.
Great record. And last but not least, what am I looking at?
Raymond Siozade.
Chute Libre, Mr. Chouinard.
That's another, those were recommendations from Napoleon 67.
Didn't you also get a copy
I didn't add it to that.
It's next to your turntable, I saw.
You got a
nice clean copy of Get Out My Life, Woman by the 5D.
Right, that I didn't have. So that's one of the only records I didn't buy from Denis.
How didn't you how have I not sold you one of those?
Well, because we can't remember everything.
We can't. But you're
going to sell me something.
Well, I figured, we kind of just went over a bunch of French stuff, and I feel like we haven't featured a good
solid
French tune.
Yeah, you're right.
I was ecstatic to pick this one up. This is a crazy rare 45 to find, especially on the Canadian press. This song is called Palladium, or Palladium, in brackets, The Hip. Whatever the hell that
is. I think that's the type of dance.
Yeah. And this
French
is
are big into that.
Oh yeah, well, because it's like, you look at all those French records and it, like, next to the title it'll say like Twist. Jerk or Twist or Slow. So this is by a girl named Liz Brady. This came out on an EP in France, I believe, but I don't really know anything about her. I've had a copy of this record for years, and I remember when I heard it, I was like, oh, this is killer.
I have one from her.
Oh yeah,
it's Balipat. Very, very yay, go-go track that I love.
So, this
I don't have this one.
This is... And it's funny because, again, I've been selling your records for 12, 13 years almost. And, this is one of those ones I was like, oh, I think I sold you this before I was, really into collecting the French stuff, which I'm sorry about that. I checked with you and you're like, I don't have it. And I'm so excited to play it on the show because this is one of my favorites. One of my favorite records from France. Palladium, The Hip by Liz Brady.
Le Palladium. Chaque soir on va rentrer tous les copains pour crier dans ses chahutés, taper des pieds, claquer des mains, yeah, 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 yeah. Et quand ils entendent de la musique qui commence, ils ne se font jamais prier pour entrer dans la danse, oh yeah, 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 yeah. Mais comment vous dire, mais comment vous expliquer, allez au Palladium et vous verrez.
So,
a little slower than usual, but perfect
so
groovy mid-tempo.
Start of the night, just like...
Sure. And all those dance crazes she lists.
Yeah, it's just one of those name-checking the dances. And I'm sure we've discussed this on the show before. I'm usually not crazy about records that were so obviously recorded in a studio, but they kind of add the backing excited crap.
Yeah.
But it just works with this record. It's just, I don't know, I just love this song. And then when she starts singing really fast, Did you catch what she was saying?
Well,
I don't know.
Don't ask me to do it, but yeah, that's great. Le Palladium is...
Is it a theater?
It's a theater in I think, in France, but it's very, well, obviously comes from, you know, ancient Greece.
Well, because I know, I'm obviously familiar with, like, the London Palladium, but I guess it's the same. There's, like, the one in Paris as well.
Probably. But here's the interesting part. In early 80s, there was one in Montreal.
Oh.
And it was a roller skating rink.
Ooh.
And so there was one in the West Island where we grew up, near Fairview. Just I think it's like a tennis in the back.
Oh,
like there's a tennis
on Brunswick. So kind of across from where like the hardware store.
Exactly.
Oh my God, that was a roller skating rink.
Yeah,
that's before my time. That's
and it
for
was
sure.
called Caesar's Palace.
Oh my!
So we'd go there like, you know, Sunday afternoons and, you know, roller skate to disco. And there was one in Laval called...
The Recreatech.
Yeah.
Yep.
But the one in, I think it was near Berry Metro Station. It was, and now it's like a Bibliothèque Nationale.
And what's
something.
Funny, and now the place you were just talking about in the West Island is all condos. as far as the eye can see. But the Recreatech, yeah, that one up in Laval, we used to go there because it's finally closed. I think they finally knocked it down because it was like still there and like some of the letters had fallen off. So it was like R, the E was missing. It was very bit of an eyesore. But I remember going there as a kid because there was like glow-in-the-dark laser tag and glow-in-the-dark bowling and stuff. It was just like an overall like destination.
Yep.
Fun for
the family.
It's fun to reminisce. Speaking of reminiscing, segue. I just got back from an interesting road trip.
You sure did.
Yeah. Me and my brother Sam, Canadian 45s, who's been a guest on the show, he flew in from Vancouver.
Yeah, Canadian 45 is in Instagram handle.
That's his Instagram handle, yes. He flew in from Vancouver so him and I could help our older brother, Andrew, who is not into records at all. Him and his wife just moved to beautiful Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, a nice 13-hour drive from here, which has officially left me as the only sibling left in the Montreal area.
It's funny how going to Dartmouth is like way longer than just going to Detroit.
It
or,
is.
Or,
oh my God.
Or New
How
York.
How did you? Okay. The night before I left, I was like, it's funny because I guess our buddy Dan Austin, Motor City Soul Club,
right?
He messaged me because there was that thing in Detroit that last weekend.
Detroit
to Go-Go. He's like, why aren't you here? And I'm like, you know, driving out to Dartmouth, you know, going out to Nova Scotia. And then I was like, how much further is it? And like, it's so much further to get to Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Like New York is almost a suburb compared to...
Well, yeah. Well, New York City from Montreal with very little traffic and without angry border guards, 6 hours. Halifax, 13. So yeah, it's like one of those things where it takes all day, but we got him out there and... my car was loaded with like all their kitchen stuff because like the way the moving truck worked, it was like by the pound. So we put a lot of heavy stuff in my car. So we helped them and got them settled in their new home, 5 minutes from the ocean. It's beautiful. Both my brothers live near the ocean, Vancouver, Halifax, and I live near swampy Fleuve Saint-Laurent. Of course, I did some digging.
Oh, dang. I'm shocked.
So... one of the fun stories was my brother, Andrew, and his wife, Paula, who moved out there, their next door neighbor here, they lived in a suburb called Vaudreuil, where I live. They were having like their garage sale just to kind of get rid of all the stuff they didn't want anymore, that they didn't want to have to move. And my sister-in-law says, oh, you should go talk to our neighbor. He collects like vintage signs. So I go, oh, cool.
My kind of guy?
Yeah. Go into his garage and like, whoa, beautiful old Coca-Cola, like everything, Mountain Dew, 7-Up, just like ones I hadn't even heard of, you know, like these old beautiful vintage soda signs. And he makes a proposition to me. He's like, I'm supposed to buy a sign from a guy in Nova Scotia. He won't ship it. He'll only take cash. Would you go pick it up for me? And he like told me how much he would pay me. And I was like, oh yeah. So I ended up driving like an hour and a half, like further than Halifax, to this small town, and went and picked up this beautiful mid-century modern Mountain Dew sign. And the thing that was like...
Yeah, Mountain Dew is collectible.
Yes. What was so frustrating is that I kept, like, I had the phone number of the guy who had the sign. He wouldn't answer. And, like, I'm driving, and, like, I'm the kind of person, I'm, like, so neurotic. Like, I need to know if I'm going somewhere that the person's going to be there. And, like, the only thing keeping me sane was there was a record store in this town, New Glasgow, in Nova Scotia. Funny, New Glasgow, New Scotland.
Yeah. New Brunswick.
So I decided, I'm like, you know what? I'm not hearing from this guy. I'm going to do the record store first. And typical small town record store experience, great stuff, prices that skyrocket, like two times what it would be on Discogs, which I find has kind of become the norm now. Where it used to be you'd go to smaller towns and like you'd be able to get stuff deals, a bit cheaper. Yeah. I still did get a deal. But example, G Plus copy of There's a Ghost in My House by Ardine Taylor, and the price sticker on it was $120.
Wow.
Yeah, the guy had great records.
But does he go by Goldmine?
I don't know what he goes by. It seems like he's one of these guys who looked at Discogs and then added $50. Like, yes. And it's like, and I'm thinking, like, you're in this tiny town.
Yeah, who's
going to walk in? Who's going to walk in here? Bing! Yeah. Me. Anyway, worked out a deal with him. Bought almost all his 45s. I reasoned with the guy. I'm good at what I do. Yeah. Anyway, got some great stuff. Went and got the sign. The guy was home. It was at this barn in the middle of nowhere. So brought back this beautiful vintage sign.
If I'm not mistaken, the thing about Mountain Dew is that it was invented to mix with moonshine. That's why, you know, the mascot is like sort of a redneck.
Yeah, kind of like a redneck. Yeah, and he's like holding a gun.
Yeah, and he's shooting through his hat. And
yes.
So I think originally Mountain Dew was like to mix with moonshine.
Really,
so
to
make
be
it
like it was
palatable.
Like, it's like they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so plenty of digging.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Facebook.com, addicted to the needle.
You're probably right. Because I feel like Mountain Dew's always...
Because I know my vintage stuff.
But I feel... Yeah. And I feel like Mountain Dew's always had that aura around it where it's like... Redneck.
Yeah.
Like
Drink. It celebrates redneck nation and culture.
So yeah. So plenty of digging and, you know, really cool. They opened an IHOP in Halifax. So that was pretty exciting. You know, got some pancakes, got some records.
Oh, it's funny. We always have to mention our unofficial sponsor. So... You know, it's not the most exciting, gift I gave you, like a stack of 150 stickers.
Dang.
But
I love it.
I'll tell you what, I did go on the website of HiHop.
Oh my God.
To buy you a t-shirt.
Oh boy.
They looked horrible.
Yeah, I don't need an IHOP t-shirt.
But I would.
I need my love of IHOP to just be, like, secluded to this show.
But you would have been happy.
I mean, it would have been something I wear to sleep, but I wouldn't, like, I don't think I would go out gallivanting in my IHOP shirt.
Well, that's why I didn't buy it for you, because they look terrible. So I did look at HiHOP and House of Pancake, Waffle House, their merch, and nothing looked good.
Right.
So I figured, I'll go with the stickers.
Well, I think it's about time for a tune. Here's something.
I'm looking over my little pod.
Something a here. Bit different. This record is actually from 72, which is a little bit later than something I would normally play for you. I recently only got this. I got this record for myself maybe a couple of months ago, so was really happy to pick up a spare copy. Funky.
In that area.
I picked this up in a town called Pointe aux Chênes, New Brunswick.
Which go figure how come it
the most
ended
Acadien,
up there.
But the thing is, it's a Canadian record.
Oh, okay.
So not totally surprising. Probably Toronto area. Black guy. Just called St. John. Yeah. Funny, I believe his name is Wayne St. John, and it's funny because where you and I grew up, the main drag is called St. John.
Yep.
On the Strawberry record label, looks like it came from a radio station, got a little number on it. Beautiful copy. Really curious to see what your take on this is. This is a track called Stand Up in Brackets, Baby.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
Cool, eh?
I don't believe the fact that you said, I'm curious to know what Pat's going to think of this. You knew exactly what I was going to think about this.
Well, yeah. But but there's still this like part of me like in my head all the years selling you records where it's like I've been sometimes hesitant when it comes to like getting into 70s stuff, but like this and the fact that it's Canadian.
And no, well, this, you know, pure
funk.
You know,
yeah,
unfiltered funk. It's You can't get more funk than
funny,
that.
The best part about this was I went to take a pee while you had the headphones on.
And then my wife walked and out, I pointed the headphones to my wife. I went, pick the headphones up.
Right.
And then she put them on and instantly started dancing.
Well, I was like midstream, and it's just dead silent, and I just hear, oh, yeah!
Well, you can guess at what point I said that.
Let me guess. The first drum break?
The first drum break.
Yeah.
Because there's multiple drum breaks.
So, really cool record. Again, it's so funny because like I wasn't super hip to this one. I only got my copy maybe like 6 months ago. And obviously... love my Canadian stuff, filed it away. And when I was out in the Maritimes, I went to this guy's house. It's kind of funny how I ended up meeting the guy. What ended up happening was, here's a great story. So we're convoying out to Nova Scotia. It's me in my car, my two brothers in my older brother Andrew's car, and my sister-in-law Paula in her car. We're all driving together. We're all driving along together. Then we get into New Brunswick, and once I'm out of the province, start speeding up a little bit. Speed limit all of a sudden goes from 100 kilometers to 110. So I'm doing a casual 140.
Jeez.
And I look in my rearview mirror, and I'm like, oh, they're gone. But then something dawned on me. It was almost like out of my subconscious. That day, there was a record show in Moncton, New Brunswick. And I go, oh. Pull over for gas. And I look, and it's like, it goes till 5 o'clock. Punch in the address, and it's like, oh, I'll be there for 3:30. So I was supposed to meet back up with my sister-in-law and my brothers, and I call them. I'm just like,
see ya.
Yeah, bye. So I get to this record show. Nothing really. I mean, it's a record show in Moncton, New Brunswick.
Mostly albums, of course.
All albums. But word gets around within a minute of me being there, and some guy, I've never seen this man before, probably in his 60s, comes up to me and he goes, are you the guy from Montreal who buys rare soul 45s? Pat, I hadn't been there a minute. And I go, oh, yeah. And he goes, oh, here's my number, here's my address. When you're coming back this way, come by my house. I got some stuff for you to look at. And that is where that 45 came from.
Well, shout out to whoever.
I believe his name was Fred.
Well, shout out Fred.
In beautiful Pointe aux Chênes, New Brunswick. And interesting, that part of the world there. That's Acadie, as we call Acadia. And everyone there, bilingual.
Yep.
They either speak English with a French accent or French with an English accent. It is the weirdest.
Or Franglish.
It's Franglish. Yes, exactly. Franglais, Franglish. But what they call it is called Shiak.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool part of the world. I love New Brunswick. So,
and a very peculiar accent.
It's different. It's just very different than, Quebec. You can't lump it in.
They have their own culture.
Very different culture. Yep. Of course, these were the people who, you know, thousands of them were shipped down to Louisiana. And that's why, you know, you'll go to New Orleans and you'll meet people with the last name Levesque. So pretty cool. But that was what I was hoping for, is even if this record show wasn't going to be great, was that I'll contact. At least meet someone. And now I got a new contact. And I was ecstatic to get that for you.
Well, that type of record I need more of. You know, that funk just at the era where the wah-wah starts.
Yes.
I don't...
That was really good. 10 out of 10. I think you can do better.
Yeah, I can
anyway,
do better.
Anyway, we'll try next episode.
That's because I have...
It's because you're sick. Yeah,
exactly. So, I and they're getting really collectible and sort of pricey too.
You know,
they're looked after. They're sought.
Well, it's like anything. I mean, look, like we've talked about this so much, but it's like the grand scheme of like old records by African American artists, where it's like we break them down into so many subgenres where it's like there's the R&B DJs, there's the northern guys, there's the funk guys, there's the modern soul guys, where it's like, I like a bit of everything.
Yeah.
You know, a good record's a good record. But, you know, this
case
is something...
Case in point, St. John. But
Wayne St. John, yeah.
Well, the title...
But
well,
yeah, just on the record, it's St. John.
Right. So, I need more of those.
They're such good party records. Like it's
absolutely.
Just, but you could play that with Mr. Fortune.
Absolutely. And it's not like I don't have a lot, but I need more.
And it's just always special because, you know, it's a Canadian thing and it's just like not super well known. And again, I always say this with the Canadian records. There aren't that many, you know, Canadian funk records like that. Like a really funky track. Same thing with Mr. Fortune by Mighty Pope, you know, just.
Yeah, I hyped it to Carl when I went to pick up my turntable. And go,
we're just converting people everywhere we go.
Absolutely. And he also had a super cool a jukebox, like a 60s jukebox.
Oh, cool. Like an old Seberg or something.
Right. And it had like a sort of a mosaic on the front with people dancing in sort of some skyscrapers and a sort of a nightlife theme mosaic. And there was like signs. It looked like a busy street full of bars, and it had like signs.
I can like picture it. I feel like I've seen something that looks.
And
like
all the signs, there were like names of dance crazes.
Oh, that's
like
cool.
It had like Jerk and Twist, and it was really cool, and it worked. And I told him about the Mighty Pope and Mr. Fortune, and he was really curious. He went on his phone and listened to it right away.
Yeah.
So this just goes very well with that type of record.
Well, and I'm always here to please.
Well, so, in that vein, you know, we're into the, you know, black experience, African American music. I'm few days away from going to Pennsylvania.
That's right. So that's in what, week and a half, 2 weeks,
right?
Basically?
So November 18th to the 20th.
And that event, so that's the Keystone Soul Weekender.
Right, Northern Soul Weekender.
So that's really centered, again, where, you know, we're talking about kind of the subgenres of African-American music, you know, spanning 1955 to, you know, 1975. So what are you packing in your DJ box to bring to a Northern Soul night?
Well, there's three... So it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
So you'll have like three different sets.
I think I'm going to have three different sets. Sunday is like an afternoon thing. It finishes at 4 p.m.
Cool.
So I'm thinking for the Sunday set, having more of a R&B popcorn type of set.
For sure.
So keeping that for that night. And the rest is going to be, you know, heavy on the Northern Soul. It's a Northern Soul Weekender, so I'm going to bring out the big guns. And, you know, just before leaving, I told myself I need to get one more. I need one more to pack. So I did put my hands on a big, big Northern Soul record. So if you want to hear it live, you know, be... And it's funny because I was telling my parents I was going to Pennsylvania. And go, oh, where are you going? And I'm going, oh, I'm going to Lancaster. No. Don't say that when you're there. That's not how you pronounce the name of the town. It's not Lancaster.
What do they say?
Lancaster.
Yeah, Pennsylvanians talk funny, man.
So I think it's Lancaster. So, hey, when I'm going to be there, people... You know, my friends listening to this, is it really Lancaster?
That reminds me of this one time I went to this town in Massachusetts, and it was spelt, like, if I would read it out, Leominster. And I get there, and the guy goes, no, it's Lowminster.
Right.
No E. Americans, and a funny thing too, if you've ever been...
Especially the French to English, you know.
Well, for sure, it's like in Detroit, there's that street, De Quinder, De Quindre. I mean, that's what we would call it. But that always reminds me, in Pennsylvania, they don't say water, they say wooder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Regional dialect. So you're going to...
Lancaster.
So yeah, bringing all the Northern Soul bangers, and
I told you that I had something big to play, and you went, "Do I know it?" There's chances that you know it because
very curious.
It's a big Northern Soul track.
One of those top 100.
Wigan
Casino.
And I won't tell you who it's from, but
let's just start with the label,
right? And I think just by the label, you might know it.
Okay,
it's on Omen. So it's that like black hand.
Yeah.
So I'm going to show you the label without showing you the title.
Because when I think of that label, I think James Crawford, I think Sims Twins. I can't think of like a big, big Northern Soul record on this label.
Okay, so the group is the something something. So I'm going to tell you the first two words.
The Epitome of Soul?
Yeah. No, the Wooden...
Nichols?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what song is it?
Nobody But You.
Interesting. Because so I have a record by them... on Rio, actually, that came out in Canada. Obviously,
don't tell me there's a Canadian pressing.
It ain't this one. I am not immediately familiar with this.
Good. I like when that happens.
But what I can tell you, arranged by H.B. Barnum, that guy did everything. Yeah. And written
so
by
many big Northern Soul tracks.
Written by Chester and Gary Pipkin, who. Who did they write for? They had some stuff on Motown, because like Motown had an LA office in the 60s, and these guys did a bit of songwriting for Motown's West Coast outlet. So it's got all the right people on it.
Well, let's see if it tickles your fancy.
Nobody But You by the Wooden Nichols, what, 65, 66?
We'll see.
I've never heard this song.
Wow.
Yeah. It's amazing. You know, I say this all the time. I always joke about this with Nick, who owns Beatnik, who's in his early 70s, and, you know, we'll sit and listen to 45s together, and he's like, Ben, I was alive when these records were coming out, and I haven't heard all of them. Killer. This is just, I mean, like...
So is this the perfect track to play on in an Elks Lodge wooden dance floor at a Northern Soul weekend?
Well, yeah, because I could just picture, like, the British guys in their polos doing their little dance that I can't do, that Northern Soul step thing. Ugh, just, like, incapable of that. But, yeah, never heard it, and I mean, it's got
it has all the right ingredients.
And it's not like a... It's more of, like, a mid-tempo. It's not a hard-driving 100... It's not a Curtis Lee, everybody's going wild, you know?
No, but it's pounding, and it's, you know...
Well, I think I should sell you a Northern Soul record.
Oh!
So I got a beautiful one.
Do you think I'm going to bring this with me?
I mean, it's possible. I hope you don't have it already. Beautiful record. Basically new old stock on the MGM label, MGM sleeve. A money record. Tune is called Not For Love Nor Money by The Partnership.
No.
Doesn't ring a bell?
No.
Good.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Let's go straight into it. I believe this is 67 or 68. I think this might make it into your box.
Yeah.
Let's find out.
All right. That record is going straight into the DJ
just
box.
Just like your face the second it started, where it's just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, how can I not bring this?
It's just, it's so typical. It's just so like, yeah, why not?
Quintessential Northern Soul.
And just like, look, I love finding a record like that. Just, and it was funny. I found two copies side by side like that. Just beautiful, mint, dead stock. I'm like, what were these doing in Nova Scotia?
At first, when I saw it, I thought maybe the Foremost
at
that was on MGM.
Yeah, yeah, classic.
But no, this I have the Foremost, so
that's an easy one. That's like a beginner record if we're gonna get
technical.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, hey, I bought them all today.
I have I have choices.
And I have,
for the weekend,
I have more in my box, but we're running a little long here. We'll save them for next time.
All right.
I always have more records.
Yeah,
for
but
you.
Is it something I can't live without for the weekender? Like Northern Soul?
No.
Okay, perfect. Because I have one that we can finish the show with.
Another new arrival.
A new arrival, and it's really something sort of obscure, under the radar, unknown. It's Northern Soul, but it's really raw.
Hmm.
It lacks in a bit into the polished, you know, arrangements and execution.
Which is like, the majority of the Northern Soul sound is kind of like that last thing we heard with strings and, you know, recorded in an actual studio, you know.
This is like, you know, a Northern Soul version of an R&B record.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah. So before
we end off with.
Yeah. Before we drop it on the platter. You have to come to Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
I've never heard anyone call, but I guess the locals with their weird.
Hey, I'm gonna fit right in. I certainly don't have a French Canadian accent. That's gonna
not at all, not at all.
That's gonna tell, you know.
So that is November.
November 18th, 18 to the 20th.
So that's cool. So you do that, and then the following weekend is your big.
Oh, right. Yeah. Hey, thanks for teeing this one up for me.
Hey, I'm here for a reason.
So with it, we're importing the Wedding Night from Toronto to Montreal. So Yule MTL. Yule is our
airport code.
Airport code. So so then the following weekend, Friday, November 25th.
That's right.
At Bar La Shop. I have a good feeling about this night.
I have a good feeling, too. I think it's going to be really good.
I think it's going to be pretty.
Because this city has been missing, a good thing like this for a long time, and I think it's going to hit.
I have, there's a vibe. There's a vibe going.
I feel like, see your vibe.
And I met one of the DJs that's going to, join us.
Yeah, who was that again?
Pat the Brat.
Wow, two Pats, one stage. Woo.
So he was at the 45 convention.
Oh, cool.
And he was leaving as I was spinning my set.
Okay.
He goes, oh, hey, I'm Pat. And Pat, are you perfect. Staying? Oh, I'm going. Good set, by the way. And, okay, bye.
So you've got gigs.
So we're, if you're anywhere around Montreal, Friday, November 25th.
Come on down.
Balash up for the weather night.
Beautiful. And
let's make it permanent. Let's make it
let's hope it becomes a regular.
Bi-monthly or monthly night. Let's
I think monthly because,
their roster is pretty full. They have a bunch of nights. So I don't think it would end up being a monthly. I wish it would.
Let's hope it.
I think it's going to go well. Every quarter or something type of night.
Perfect. Follow our Instagram, Addicted to the Needle. Like our Facebook page. Write us on Apple Music. Is that a thing?
Apple Music. Leave us a good review.
Come on, we're good. This is a fun show.
You know, when you think about it, this show is free. There's no ads. Well, yeah, there's fake ads.
There's fake ads.
But there's no ads.
You work your ass off.
Stickers, don't pay for themselves.
That's right.
All we ask. This is not too much asking. All we ask is leave us a good review.
That's right.
Or recommend us to a friend. That's it.
We're pretty simple folk.
I'm not hassling anybody for a Patreon, and we're not. It's 100% free.
100% organic.
Yeah. Perfect cider. Thank you again.
Yeah.
Just leave us a good review. Is it too much asking?
You sound like Trump.
No, don't.
Is it too much to leave a good review?
No, don't say that. Don't say that. I'm sick. I'm vulnerable. Yeah, don't say that.
I don't want to upset you. Follow us.
Oh, yeah, go vote. Our American friends, go vote. It's tomorrow.
Yeah, that should be it.
By this date of recording.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to watch tomorrow. Anyway, not important. Well, important, but let's just
talk. Other topic,
let's stick to records. Follow me on Instagram, Shulman the Soul Man. Follow our Addicted to the Needle Instagram and Pat at Parka Avenue. Yeah, go buy records from me. The company sleeve on Discogs, almost at 16,045s. There's probably something you need. And
you'll get a free sticker.
And I'll throw a sticker in. So what do we going on here with our goodbye track?
Oh, I think it's because you mentioned Trump. I bet you've never heard this label before. It's called the Scam Sound. Very nice, you know, pinkish record. Pinkish label.
All right.
I bet it doesn't sound familiar.
No.
So I'm going to just hand it to you. And
The Scam Sound. Love in My Soul by the Miracle Walkers. No idea.
It could have been a name that fake Moldy Oldie.
Oh, yeah. This means nothing to me. So this is completely new.
It is very obscure.
How did you describe it again? Raw Northern Soul?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
it's been a while since I've listened to it, so I hope I didn't mess it up.
Well, let's get into this, and hopefully it's built up to this hype to end off the show with. Thank you for listening, everybody. And what was this, episode 90-something?
Four.
Crazy. 94 times we've done this.
Yeah, we're getting we're going to find something to do for episode 100.
It'll be great. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody, and here's Love in My Soul on the Scam Sound.
And keep on keeping on.
It's beyond explanation. I know it's not imagination. No longer can I hold. No longer can I be.